Another wave of COVID-19 hits Europe, bringing a new battle to keep both the population and the economy healthy.
Governments across the continent are essentially saying lockdowns are no longer an option.
We'll look at the next steps, including what's happening in schools. Plus, we already know America's been shopping more since the start of the pandemic, but there's more to the story behind today's retail numbers.
If you dig a little bit beneath the surface, you'll see that things are changing a bit.
It's Wednesday, September 16th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Facebook could be the focus of an antitrust lawsuit. We're reporting the Federal Trade Commission is gearing up to file a possible case by the end of the year. The FTC has been investigating concerns Facebook is using its dominance in social media to stifle competition. We talked to the Journal's legal affairs reporter, Brent Kendall, about the bigger picture here.
There's a handful of big tech companies, Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon, that have been under pretty intense scrutiny from U.S. antitrust enforcers for about a year now, and they're looking at things like whether Facebook went out and acquired potential competitors for the purpose of basically removing them from the marketplace and threatening Facebook down the road. They're also looking at things like how Facebook has treated app developers that wanted to create new products and services that potentially would compete with things that Facebook was doing.
The Gulf Coast felt heavy rain and storm surge as Hurricane Sally came ashore near Gulf Shores, Alabama. It made landfall as a Category 2 storm, packing winds up to 105 miles per hour. Applause on the White House lawn marking the completion of a peace agreement involving Israel, the UAE, and Bahrain. Known as the Abraham Accords, the U.S. brokered deal normalizes relations between the nations while further isolating Iran. And in Japan, Yoshihide Suga was elected the country's first new prime minister in almost 8 years. He replaces Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who stepped down because of poor health. We get a look inside the recovery today as U.S. retail spending data for August come out. Our markets editor, Quinton Webb, has more on what to expect and why it matters.
Economists think that retail sales this month likely improved by about 1% compared to July. So that's kind of broadly the same pace at which retail sales improved the previous month. Now, it would be hard for them to grow a lot faster because you've already seen quite a big bounce back after this kind of steep decline earlier in the year. But it is kind of evidence that in some ways the American economy is in reasonably robust health. And what's interesting too is if you dig a little bit beneath the surface, you'll see that things are changing a bit. So, of course, the way that we live and work now means, you know, there's been big demand for kind of working from home workspaces, for kind of teleconferencing equipment. Now, let's not get overexcited here because outside of retail, of course, you know, various other bits of the economy, notably parts of the service sector, are in much more difficult shape. And of course, you know, many people remain unemployed. But, you know, within this kind of narrow world of retail spending, actually, things still look reasonably robust.
The Fed wraps up its two-day meeting today. As we talked about yesterday, we may hear more from the bank about the need for more government spending in the effort to heal the economic wounds of the pandemic. Just ahead, the global struggle to beat back a second wave of the coronavirus. Europe offers some interesting lessons here, so we'll go to one of our reporters there after the break. India's coronavirus case count now tops 5 million. That's second only to America, which is now over 6.6 million. For insight into the fight against the pandemic, it's a good time to look at Europe, where a second wave is now hitting. Leaders are trying to stop the spread without completely shutting down the economy. To get a better picture as to where things stand, let's bring in our Germany correspondent, Bojan Panchevsky. Bojan, we're glad you're here.
Hi, Mark. Good to be here.
So, Bojan, as Europe deals with this resurgence, I'm curious about where are the hardest hit areas, and are lockdowns even an option on the table?
Well, basically, at the moment, the hardest hit countries in Europe seem to be Spain and France, which are seeing sort of a number of daily cases going up to 10,000 in France and around 8,000 in Spain, and authorities there say this is a result of the mass movement of people during the summer vacation period, when these countries and most other European countries opened the border, allowed for sort of travel, for tourism, you know, because obviously some of these governments depend heavily on tourism revenues. And I think that has, according to authorities, led to a big surge, particularly in these two countries. However, with regards to lockdown, governments across the continent are essentially saying lockdowns are no longer an option. Even in the countries that were very severely hit in the so-called first wave of the coronavirus pandemic earlier this year, where you had tens of thousands of deaths in countries like Italy, like France, like Spain, like Britain, it would appear that no government is ready to consider such drastic measures again.
It's a difficult balance for governments. How do you balance economic concerns with this need for public safety?
Exactly. And also, you know, there is more evidence that actually targeted measures could be useful and effective in curbing the spread of the virus. Because at the moment, you know, we have this sort of record figures, even in some places like Spain. But however, the people who get infected appear to be in the age group between 18 and 30 or 35 years of age. And they're most of them are either have no symptoms or their symptoms are very mild. So hospitals are not swelling up, people are not dying, people are not getting severely ill. And the question now is it possible for governments and societies and individuals basically to keep the virus at bay from the groups who are most at risks? And basically predominantly that means the elderly people who have suffered the most in the first wave of the coronavirus.
Let's focus the conversation for a moment on young people and children, especially with the return to school. How are schools and educational institutions adapting to this?
Well, essentially, in most countries in Europe, schools were closed for a prolonged period of time, in some countries for a very long time, such as Italy and Britain, for example. And I think authorities have made a decision not to do that again, because it has been agreed on that closing schools is actually causing more damage to society than keeping them open for a number of reasons. So essentially, it's a bit of a patchwork of measures. You see different things applied in different countries and different regions of countries. For example, in Germany, Europe's most populous nation, you see we have different measures in different states. One sort of measure that seems to apply in most places is that older kids are asked to wear a mask, and they're mostly required to wear a mask in the common areas before and after classes and on the school buses.
There's always this desire to try to stay one step ahead of the virus and try to chart its path, which leads to this issue of contact tracing. Is contact tracing happening across Europe, and are there any success stories, or is it ineffective?
It is happening across Europe, and obviously the success varies from country to country. It would appear that Italy has built a very good screening system, and they have reported some success with contact tracing and isolating of people who have come in contact with infected people. That is less the case in Spain, which appears not to have really mastered the art of building an efficient contact tracing system. Germany has had pretty good success with contact tracing, but experts have across the board warned that after a certain amount of new cases, of daily new cases, it really becomes very difficult or even impossible to conduct proper contact tracing, because you just don't have the manpower, you don't have the staff to sort of handle the huge amount of work, of phone calls that need to be done.
Boyan, as we move through the fall and then enter the winter, is there a top concern, a prime concern that Europe is facing with the coronavirus that you see?
The fear is that this will now sort of spill over into the elderly demographic, that it will start affecting, you know, hospitals, nursing homes, people with risk factors, and that we would then quickly go back to a situation we had earlier this year where hospitals were swelling and we had like a spike in mortality. And this is the biggest worry for policymakers and medical experts. Whether Europe can avoid that, it depends on many factors. It primarily probably depends on compliance with the simple rules that have been proven effective, wearing masks, keeping social distancing, avoiding crowded spaces, avoiding contacts if you're a younger person with the elderly in case you are at risk of infecting them.
Bojan Panchevski in Berlin, thank you for the update.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, there's ample research on the healing power of music. A new study breaks ground in that area with a pandemic twist, testing the power of live music delivered remotely. Some patients in the neurology department at Northwestern are watching live viola performances over FaceTime. Researchers are testing whether that helps get rid of some of the extra stress and anxiety that comes with a hospital stay these days when visitors are restricted because of COVID-19. The study is a pilot and shows early signs of promise. For more on music and well-being, you can read our story on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We're back tonight with an updated episode. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.